Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Wrestling. It is January 12th, 2022. It is your AEW Dynamite review. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. Debuts, title matches, all that good stuff. We had the Listing Your Boy today where we talked about, a big Fightful Select story about Corey Graves being cleared. I'll shill that a little bit later. We got the MLW lawsuit against WWE. That's wild. That all happened today. We've got interviews this week with Zicky Dice and Leo Rush here on Fightful. So if you don't mind, leave us a thumbs up. If you're watching on YouTube, head over to iTunes or Spotify or wherever the hell else you want to find us on audio. Leave us a nice review. I can't tell you how much that helps us because so much of our audience is on YouTube that we don't necessarily get that from those audio platforms. But there's other ways you can support us. I mentioned Fightful Select. You can send a super chat if you're watching live on YouTube and get your question or statement read on the air. But if you want to... Sorry, I got the hiccups there. I keep getting the hiccups during the show. If you want to take that a step beyond, you can go to humperchats.com. You may say, ooh, Sean, you're feeling naughty tonight. No, Humper Chats is in reference to a camel. Camel humps. Humper Chats. Leave your question or your statement. Humperchats.com. Let's just keep a little bit more of that. We got Alex Palowski here. Alex, how you doing? You having a humpy hump day?
A very humpy hump day indeed. I was, man... when you posted the eye emoji, I was like, well, this should be interesting on your Twitter. And then you came. If you had given me a million guesses, I would not have guessed that we might get the Sterling James Keenan back in a wrestling ring again. That kind of knocked me for a loop. So I've been kind of recovering from that all day. But hell of a night of AEW, fellas.
Robert, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Alex basically described exactly what happened with my reaction when you posted the eye emoji, because I immediately said, hey, what's going on? And I said I would have guessed that in a million years.
Nope.
And that's really good for your Corey.
Yeah, I did not expect that, although I probably should have a little bit, because WWE does not let people do much of anything when they're on a no-contact list. And Corey Graves, for all the complaining I did about a schoolboy roll-up today, I went back and watched his 24/7 segment. And oddly enough, Corey Graves and Byron Saxton, who hadn't wrestled in years each, did two of the best schoolboy roll-up pins in WWE in the last few years. But we'll talk more about that later. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. That's where we broke that news today. That's where we broke a whole lot of news every single day, including that Brody King was in the building tonight. We'll talk about that later on. We've got AEW Dynamite, and Alicia Ellis says, great way to end my birthday watching Fightful. You know what, Alicia? We're glad to have you here. Happy birthday. You support us so much, and we always love to see it. Guys, this show brought to you by manscaped.com/Fightful. we definitely encourage you guys to check that out. Hit them up on Twitter as well. But we kicked off this show with the Indisputed Era, as I like to call them, because it's a lot better than the Paragon. We had O'Reilly, Fish, Cole come out, and the Young Bucks followed. And they're like, what's going on here? And there was a bit of friction. But Adam Cole was very much like, yeah, I love it. Some friendly competition. We're not like those losers, the best friends. Well, those losers, the best friends come out. And odds not quite even here, which we'll talk about momentarily. Chris Statlander comes out and Britt Baker follows. Now, I definitely trust AEW to do this a lot better than other companies have. And I got to tell you, there is a particular demographic that's going to enjoy this. My wife marked out like she was watching a fucking Twilight movie at 17 years old. Oh my God, it's so cute. I love love. And I'm like, they're heels. They're bad people on this show. But that is neither here nor there. Chris Rain says he's looking so forward to Britt and Adam tagging together. Alex, what did you think of this segment? I got to say, her stealing the Young Bucks kiss.
Yeah.
Was really good stuff.
That was really good. A few things. I really did love that the Young Bucks hate Red Dragon and vice versa, because that just gives me like they're building to, obviously Adam's got to choose one, and whichever one he chooses, that's when Kenny shows up and helps the other pairing, which is like the dream feud. Is that just give me a few of those trios matches? Like I don't know, a dozen. Like I'll watch that forever. So I was very excited about that. And then best friends come down and I love Orange Cassidy not having to say anything and just text Adam Cole. And I like how Red Dragon and Young Bucks back each other up in the brawl, because even if you don't like your brothers in the gang, you're still in the same gang. So you got it. There's going to be a rumble. You got to throw hands. And I thought that was really cool. And I'm not going to lie. I think the most I marked out was Statlander standing up to Cole, because of all the women in AEW, I if they ever do an intergender match, I feel like Statlander's the one to do it. She is just a powerhouse, and I don't believe she backed down to anybody. And I thought that was kind of cool. I don't think we're actually gonna get it, but every time they tease me with Chris Statlander standing up to somebody, I go, ooh, someday. When Britt ran down and attacked Statlander, I was like, this is really, really important to me, because they kept that so close to the vest. They mention in passing that Britt and Adam are a thing, like Tony Schiavone will bring it up or whatever, but they've never actually done a segment together, if unless I'm wrong, on television. This was like them saying, we are the it couple and the grit couple of AEW. And if one of the other places is going to have it, we're going to have it too. And ours is kind of better. It's like it felt like they were staking that claim. I thought it was really well handled, well done. And this is actually a mixed tag match that I am looking forward to for a change.
Now, there are some, you know, some obvious options as to who could help even up the odds with best friends, Robert. We've been mentioning Johnny Gargano on this show quite a bit. But how'd you feel about this? And I like them working Britt in with Adam Cole, because they have not ignored it on this show. And when the opportunity presents itself, this made an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, see, that's the important thing, is it made sense. It was like, oh, here's an opportunity for me to go help him, because he's not Dan Lambert and he's not itching a hitter. So I'll just run down and make the save, you know? And
but all of us are.
Yeah, that's true. If you believe Dan Lambert. All one hitter,
right in the face. Yep.
But great segment. I am all for Britt being an official member of the Paragon or whatever they want to call it. This works. And it was a refreshing change of pace to see Britt away from Rebel and Jamie Hayter. So I liked everything about this.
ShotKid29 says Kyle O'Reilly needs eye contact.
I did think about you, Sean, when he kept saying that. That's fantastic.
So they're backstage, they being this group of top heels, so to speak, and they're arguing over what Brandon Landon's name is, and then they all tell him to shut up. This was good old-fashioned fun. Tom LaValle says, best friend still feuding with the Undisputed Era, and in 2 weeks is Cleveland. Could Johnny be waiting for a hometown pop? I would think so, because if they are continuing this feud for any other reason, I am just like, ugh, at this point. Unless it is a vehicle to debut Johnny Gargano, I don't want to see it.
I think Johnny's genuinely just waiting to be a dad, and then he'll figure out wrestling later.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. ShotKid29 says, if Sue doesn't drive in Johnny for beach break, money left on the table. And like we said, like I would have loved if it could somehow have been after the birth. That way you see him lean into the car and adjust the car seat. And he's like leaning out like, no, hold on. This is way more difficult than anybody realizes.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's something really funny to be done there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see him debut in Cleveland because it's Cleveland. It's his hometown. Sure. And then take some time off, or at least a reduced schedule, to be there for the birth, to be a dad. My own personal fantasy booking is that he comes out, hey, I'm an AEW now. I'm Johnny Wrestling. It's my hometown. And for the first time that we see him since he lost to Hangman, Danielson comes out, says, hey, Johnny Wrestling, I'm Brian Wrestling. Would you like to do the wrestling tonight? And then Daniel Bryan, Brian Danielson, that guy, like he puts Johnny on the kayfabe shelf. So Johnny can go away and be a dad when his kid is born. And when he comes back, we've got that feud waiting for us. I think that's what I would love to see happen.
I do want to say I would absolutely trust Sue with my child, though. Like, yes, that's a babysitter.
That is true.
That is a babysitter. Mark Losper says, I'm okay with the mixed tag if they don't do the WWE rule set. If they have women can't hit men and vice versa, then I'm all the way out. I don't think they would do that move set. Shazarin says, my beautiful dream. Regal comes out to announce Blood and Guts with Gargano as the fifth for the best friends. No way it happens, but I can dream.
Look, I'll just say it. I don't want best friends in Blood and Guts. If you're going to do it, it's Elite and Paragon.
I think it could be interesting with Britt and Chris involved, though.
Yeah.
To some degree, I think it could be interesting. Yeah. Anakin saying, Britt insisting she be the one to kiss Cole popped me. Also great to get two matches week to week with women. Statlander and Britt had such a great match at All Out. So that compensates for getting OC and Cole again. I'm telling you, the kiss was such a good visual. In my head, I'm like, do I go with Brody King as the thumbnail? Do I go with the kiss as the thumbnail tonight? Got to get those clickety clacks. Brent Lockman says, don't stop now, Alex. Manifest all of that. Well, we're going to manifest.
Currently manifesting.
We're going to manifest something out of Alex right now because Boris wants to talk about Pac being a wrestler by day and crime solver at night.
Pac is Daredevil now. I've never been so happy. Like, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And when he got the mist in both eyes, I was like, please have him come back and be actually blind and then be able to fight while blind. And it looks kind of like that might be what we eventually get. That video package was so good. The ones he did back at the height of the pandemic where he couldn't get out of England, like those things were so weird and edited so cool. This feels like a return to that. And I loved those, but him just fiddling with a Justice tarot card with the eyes of Justice manually scratched out by himself. Ah, God, I need so much of that. And here's the thing. I love that he says my vision for the first time is never been more clear. Like, this could be fighting the House of Black, but it could be joining the House of Black. He never actually specifically says in that thing. I love that they leave it open for us. But yeah, I would love to see him go out and do some vigilante justice in the streets of Hell's Kitchen. That'd be fun too.
Oh boy. Sorry. So the way that we do our super chats is our moderator, Luis, does a great job. Luis Polito does a great job. He puts them in the back end to buy segments. And I'm so immature because the segment says amazing Wardlow package. And I just want to say, and I just want to say that if you would like your package to look as amazing as possible, check out our friends at manscaped.com. Oh, Manscaped. You know the drill. You don't want to look like an AEW main eventer. And by that, I mean just gore and blood and all kinds of mess everywhere. Manscaped prevents that. Give yourself an amazing Wardlow-esque package here. if you're looking to throw, you know, 5, 6, 7 power bombs down, you know, you want to be at peak performance. You want to be aerodynamic when you're throwing those, if you know what I'm saying, because that does help out performance. And Manscaped has you covered, and so does that code Fightful. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Don't go for the DQ. There's no honor in that. Don't settle for the count out. Get rid of those dirty, disgusting pubes thanks to their fourth generation trimmer and their advanced skin safe technology. It's even waterproof. So if you have to go outside the ring to do your business, Manscaped is good on all kinds of terrain, and it shapes your terrain as well. But not just that, they've got all kinds of formulations. They got a body wash with aloe vera and sea salt to make your skin feel nice, clean, moisturized. You'll be a brand new man. They got ball toner even. They got crop reviver. They got crop mops. They've even got stuff for your feet if you want it. Advanced Skin Safe technology is going to make sure that you reduce those grooming accidents. And that Lawnmower 4.0 is legendary. 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code FIGHTFUL at manscaped.com. Check them out, my friends. Oh, boy, this Wardlow Punk match. Oh, boy, I loved it. I freaking loved it, guys. I thought this was awesome. I thought they made Wardlow look incredible, and I know that a lot of people didn't like the finish, but I'm going to put it over here in a moment. But Wardlow's like, 2 power bombs? Give me 8. I'm not driving. And there we go. 8 power bombs, including one through the table outside. Holy cow. This was an ass whipping of epic proportions. And what I loved about this is this very much said, if MJF was nowhere near this, Wardlow would have mopped the floor with CM Punk. As good as those manscaped.com code Fightful crop mops. Mowed him down like a Manscaped pube trimmer, code Fightful. And it wasn't even close. Now, a lot of people were comparing the small package finish to like every other run of the mill roll up. And boy, let me tell you, do I hate roll up finishers? Do I hate the schoolboy roll up? Which is what I define as a roll-up. Some wrestlers were talking to me. They're like, well, I call it any kind of roll-up. Who gives a damn about that at this point? The schoolboy roll-up sucks ass. Because so often there's no weight on the hips. There's no weight on the shoulders. You guys have heard me talk about it a million times. The small package, popularly known as an inside cradle to some, it has been a great pin for a long time. I watched Bret Hart pin Diesel with that pin. And it looked amazing. And it's legitimately a good pin. You got your arm around the neck. You've clenched your hands. Your leg is cradling their leg. You've got their other one. It's hard to kick out of. It's just a good pin. For some reason, a lot of wrestling fans have been conditioned to think that every pin like that, whether it be a victory roll, whether it be an Okada roll or anything, the prawn hold, is the same as a lazy, oh, well, I'm going to roll you up from behind, inside your thigh, hold some tights, and barely lean. Like, it's just a good pin. Sometimes good pins pin good wrestlers. You see it all the time. This, I thought, was a good pin, but I'm open to hearing some other things. Dan the Man saying the surprise roll-up, the most devastating move. I just don't think that's fair. If we had seen more small packages over the years, as opposed to those lazy roll-ups, boy, I'd be with you. And we got people saying Wardlow took no damage. That's where a good pin comes into play. A good pin from a more experienced wrestler.
I think that's, Alex, to me, that's the key.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know, but I would assume Wardlow's never been small packaged before.
Yeah.
Like
he ain't training that an awful lot.
Right. Like that's a thing that he hasn't been like, especially out of nowhere when he thought the man he was fighting was clinically dead.
Yes.
Like it was literally a surprise, and he has no experience kicking out of that kind of pinning combination. It's a different kind of thing. In the moment, he was like, what the hell is happening to my body, basically? Like, and I totally believe, like, it's things like when Cesaro gets small packaged. I'm like, that guy knows how to kick out of that. Wardlow, I feel like his inexperience is his one weakness, because he mopped the floor with Punk in this match. And Punk is still being touted. He's the guy, again, this is the thing that I think has been consistent through the entire time that Punk has been in AEW. He's not the same guy anymore. And it's fine that he's not. He took 7 years off, and he's much older now. He's not the same guy anymore. If he struggles to beat Lee Moriarty, like, he's in there with a dude like Wardlow, who's built like he's built out of granite. Like, he's got to have different things to take him out that he doesn't have anymore. And him still, by the skin of his teeth, getting out of these things, eventually, he's going to have to blatantly cheat to do it. I thought tonight, when the ref was busy with MJF on the apron, that we were going to see a desperation low blow to Wardlow, and we'd all forgive Punk because he was just trying to survive. But we won't forgive when he does something like that to somebody we love. And I think that's the eventual story here for Punk.
Eloquent says, LOL, everyone MJF feuds with has to go through the labors. After that match, he said, fine, you're getting the match you want. Sean Spears versus CM Punk, which is funny. Robert, I do think it's important. The next time Wardlow has a match that isn't a squash, the person has to try to small package him, and he has to kick out at one.
Yeah.
Like, he went and trained that move afterwards.
I hope that we see that match, and it's not somebody on dark elevation that maybe not everybody's watching. I hope that whenever that happens, we see it. But you hit the nail on the head, Sean. Bret Hart and Diesel. Because I watch this with my buddy every week, and I said, this is what they're going to do. He's eventually going to pass out, and Wardlow's going to pick him up, and he's going to small package him. Because I knew Bret Hart and Diesel was coming. Because CM Punk loves Bret Hart, and I don't blame him. This was perfect. This was a well-told story. And MJF is eventually going to face the wrath of Wardlow, and that's not going to be pretty.
And again, I am an absolute dork about a good pin. I just love a good pin, like a ghetto clutch, a dolphin clutch, crucifix, all that stuff. There are so many of these that should be conditioned to make you think anybody could get pinned with one of these at any given time. That way you don't eventually see it as a lazy thing. That way it's not like how it became in pro wrestling for so long, where it's like, I'm gonna lightly roll you over, and not only that, the person on the back without their shoulders covered just laying there instead of doing this or this. Ooh, it's so annoying. And I'm glad that they are conditioning the audience to be more into pins. We've got a bunch of super chats about a lot of different stuff, but we're going to get into these about Wardlow first. Dana Holland says, local legend says Wardlow is still powerbombing Punk. I just love that his finish is like a shit ton of power bombs. It's awesome.
I mean,
and that's
his finish is one power bomb. Yes. He decides to keep going, but he could pin after the first and nobody would get up.
I also like that that's becoming a finish too, because when I was growing up, like if somebody got power bombed for a while, that was it. Then like 97 hit and then everybody was doing them. Orion Ben 666 says power bomb symphony leads to the turn. Didn't see that coming, guys. Oh, I mean, that's, of course we all did, but that's okay. As long as the story's
like
good.
That moment where MJF is pointing the finger in Wardlow's chest and Wardlow just grabs the hand. Like, I was like, are we going to get this tonight? Because I thought they were going to wait to Cleveland because it's in Wardlow's hometown. But, I mean, I'm all for just like that little bit of a tease. Like, oh, the crowd was ready to come unglued if Wardlow powerbombed MJF tonight. They're going to go crazy for Wardlow when he turns on MJF.
Oh, boy, I love this comment. This Humper Chat from HumperChat.com from MMA Hunky, who says, I coach high school amateur wrestling, and we tell our kids if you get someone in an inside cradle, it's basically a guaranteed pin because it's so effective. Great move. God damn it, I love you, MMA Hunky. I appreciate you. Like I said, a good pin is one that is difficult to kick out of, one that pins the shoulders and makes it hard for somebody to kick out. whenever you're hooking that leg, that is so they can't kick their leg out and pop their shoulder off the mat. That's why all the time you'll hear announcers say lazy cover when they don't hook the leg. And that's why so often you'll see wrestlers scoop their arm underneath the head. They'll scoop the leg. Then they'll attach their hands like this and grab the wrist. That way it reduces the ability to get that shoulder up off the mat. I could talk about that shit all day long, but I get the feeling you all don't want to hear that. So Dana Holland says, felt like Wardlow deliberately didn't kick out to passively tick off MJF. It'd be an interesting approach as well. Volob says, go watch Sonata or ZSJ do O'Connor rolls. They are awesome finishes. Yes, they are. Mark Losper says, these type of finishes are okay to a company that does them extremely rarely. It's not like they do 47 distraction roll-ups per minute. Again, if they were good pins on WWE, I wouldn't have a problem with it either.
And it's not a distraction pin either. It's he just got pinned.
Yeah. Jay Blood says, the Manscaped ball toner works. I got a six-pack there. You need a doctor. You don't need Manscaped. You need a doctor. Van Twin Blade says, jumping into the ad pretty early, Sean. Buddy, I couldn't help it when I saw that on the back. Dilly Deal says, longtime listener, first time Humper Chat. Thank you so much. Punk versus Wardlow felt like an ode to Chael versus Silva. Would have preferred an Anaconda Vice out of nowhere, but appreciate the cradle. Love you guys. Appreciate what you do. So for those of you who don't know what that reference is, Chael Sonnen was a fairly good MMA fighter who was more of a journeyman who was taking on the unstoppable Anderson Silva at the peak of his reign. And for 4.5 rounds, Chael Sonnen beat the living shit out of Anderson Silva and just whipped his ass. And then out of nowhere, Anderson Silva popped on a triangle choke and won the fight. It was wild, wild as hell. And we have seen CM Punk and Bryan Danielson pay homage to Silva and Sonnen 2 in the past before in WWE. Bake05 says, the best powerbomb will forever be the last ride. Buddy, I love that move. I don't know how people took that move going back in time without rattling their head off the mat. But
I, the first time I saw Biker Taker do that to somebody, I stood up off the couch. I was like, what is this? This is a new form of death. That was amazing.
I saw a meme last week that was somebody in midair getting a wedgie and it said Undertaker in 2000 to everyone. I loved it. Mike Preventure 2 says, people who think the surprise pins are bad need to look up how often American Dragon wins with them. It's about context, and this was great. Throw all the WWE stuff out the window. When you're watching this show, throw those tropes out the window. What AEW seems to be looking to do is apply some logic to some of their things that don't have logic, which I appreciate. Chris Rain says that the match was awesome. Love the story they told, and the eventual pop when Wardlow turns on MJF is going to be huge. So after this, you've got MJF poking at Wardlow. I got real like Cornette Yokozuna 1996 turn vibes here. And if you guys haven't seen that, go back. You'll see exactly what I mean. Yokozuna had been managed by Cornette for quite a while, and it was coming to an end. And Cornette had his shiny new toy, Invader. And all that, and that all unfolded, but it's going to be great. It's going to be really good, I think. Slaps88 says, the payoff is going to be good when Wardlow turns on MJF, but not as good as when the Raiders beat the Bengals this Saturday. Good luck, Sean. Well, I hate to tell you, but that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. I mean,
history says different. But you know,
I can't think of an important time ever in which the Raiders have beaten the Bengals. Definitely not the time that led to a 30-plus year curse from Bo Jackson. Not really. Daniel R. says they should hold Wardlow, MJF till Revolution, right? Maybe even till Double or Nothing. I think you do Punk and MJF at Revolution, then Wardlow, yeah. MJF at Double or Nothing. Bugs Bunny 95. Thanks for the lively discussions each week, Fightful Crew. It's also great to hear what you all have to say. Haters can kick rocks. Select work the 5-2. I've paid a lot less attention to the haters in 2022, and my life is significantly better. So thank you to all of you that subscribe. Matthew asked if Punk and faced Wardlow and Spears in the wrong order. Well, what do you think, Robert?
Maybe, because I think Wardlow should be the final step if he's going to be any step, but they clearly have a different story they want to tell because AEW just doesn't do this randomly. Everything they do is with a purpose. So if Punk had Wardlow first, there's an exact reason.
Yeah, there's. I'm willing to see what the story is in the Spears match. Like, if it is an immediate disqualification because Spears hits him with a chair and just goes to town on him because that's all MJF cares about is hurting Punk. Like, I get that as well.
So we've got a super chat of MA saying, I always YouTube Nunzio selling the last ride. You want to talk about a guy that knows some good pins. Nunzio, a lot of people don't know that he's a shoot badass. Like, he is a legit badass dude. Like, he wrestled in UWFI back in the day. Jay Blood says, I love how Punk sold everything Wardlow did like he was fighting Thanos, crumbling with a scream for that big clubbing blow to the back. I like that Punk wasn't throwing punches. He was throwing clotheslines. He had to give everything that he had. I thought Punk, go ahead.
He knows a thing or two about making a guy look a little strong. I think he's the right guy to put in the ring with Wardlow.
Do you, I wonder if Tony went up to him and said, we got to make Wardlow look strong. And Punk said, well, how about we let him win?
I think that's exactly how it happened.
Terry Allen Jr. says, is Robert excited for the 2K22 cover star? Well, Robert knows who it is, but that's embargoed. So,
yeah, and I would be. And you all should be too, because it's just been too long since we've had a wrestling game.
That it has. Brett says, flying to Atlanta Sunday for Terminus, then to DC for AEW shows. Any chance AEW can compete with Gresham versus Alexander? Well, if you mean on Terminus, in the ring, I think that Alexander and Gresham is going to be the best match all month, much less. I think it'll be better. I think it could be better than Omega or Hangman and Bryan Danielson, or as good. But we should have coverage of Terminus, by the way. I am so excited for that and happy that they sold out. Bako5 says, crowd seemed pretty light tonight. Is that due to the COVID increase or AEW need to get newer unvisited markets? I think they should go to unvisited markets. I don't know if it... So I would look in the background and I thought those were empty seats. It was just really dark.
It was just really dark. Yeah, that did not do them any favors. It looked like they were doing it to one section of fans. And yes. Then in a different angle, you were like, oh no, there are fans there. You just can't see them.
Yeah. And I do think they should go to new markets. I do. I don't know why they haven't been going further into the Midwest and the West or anything like that. But, I'm going to look into that. I'll see what I can find out. I always encourage you guys to check out the WrestleTix account. They use software to kind of pull information on that. Votlob says, Daredevil pack, justice. And Sawyer says that he loves how petty Tony is on commentary towards Adam Cole and his greasy hair. It's great continuity. It really is. Mark Losper says, if I'm going to believe that any wrestler could be the Daredevil, it'd be Pac. Please give me a return segment with the darkly lit hallway and Pac destroying geeks.
What'd be cool. Great is the lights can go out and Pac can knock everybody out because he doesn't need the lights to see. Like that would be really cool too.
WrestleTick said it was at 66% tonight. That is down from most AEW stuff. Poor dude says, traded a beer to say that Inside Cradle is not a roll-up. Props to Fundamental Wrestling and SRS for becoming a double champ. So I'll quickly address this. When I went to a seminar with Billy Robinson, he complained an awful lot about that move and about calling it a roll-up. There are some in pro wrestling that do call all of those roll-ups. Fundamentally, like in amateur wrestling, catch wrestling class, that's just never what we called a roll-up. It's always been the schoolboy, which, by the way, I have never seen pin a real human in my life. But yes, I do love some Fundamental Wrestling. Daniel R. says, I like having Punk go to Wardlow first. Hope it makes MJF feel desperate. And MJF had to pull Spears out of his ass as an opponent. Also, Gresham versus Danielson, please, AEW. Yes, that Danielson and Gresham has to happen. That match has to happen. For people asking where Terminus is going to be available at, it'll be on Fight. Also Saturday, Zicky Dice's Outlandish Paradise on Twitch. I am so excited about that. We got a full interview up with Zicky Dice on the site. Talks about being backstage at at NWA, which shocked me because last year I was in the middle of a very interesting argument between Zicky Dice and Nick Aldis that was a very real thing, but check out that full interview. Mark Losper says, Punk being willing to eat all the powerbomb says a lot about where his current attitude is about stuff. Great to see a guy with such a name willing to go in there and help make Wardlow even more. Let's talk more about taking moves, because one thing I didn't have on my bingo card tonight was Matt Hardy taking a fear factor. In fact, when it almost happened on the apron, Robert, I looked at him and I said, that ain't happening. No chance. Well, as we say, Matt Hardy puts on for his city, and he ate that. Holy crap. His wife was in the crowd, too. I bet his wife was like, what are you doing taking that?
I'm surprised Rebby didn't jump the guardrail with both kids. Like, what are you doing? No.
Oh, this is solid. It was all right. But it was to serve a greater purpose, Robert.
It was okay. I can do without the 5 minutes of delete Cerro Miedo. I don't know.
I love that they referenced, like, this does have a 20-minute timeline. Yes. So.
That was perfect. That was perfect.
Look, I get that Matt's like, okay, cool. They're going to do the delete thing with me because we're in North Carolina.
Right.
And I didn't get to get that over in 2020. I get it, but I don't need it for 5 minutes in a match. I just don't.
So, the match isn't what everybody's talking about Penta. Now, and earlier in the night, we had Jurassic Express wishing Phoenix best of luck. Dark Order set up a match for next week. That's cool. But what we eventually had was Malakai Black coming out, getting in Penta's face, the Varsity Blonde showing up, Julia Hart with her eye patch, which looks so badass. Looks so badass. And then it happens. Malakai Black turns the lights off, and we've had teases for a while. And FightfulSelect.com reported this evening that Brody King was in the building. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how freaking good it is. And Bake05, you're saying, are we working on any news for the AEW game? We're always working on news. So yes, I will keep asking. Brody King pops up, and a guy that has not been on WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling TV ever. The crowd is chanting his name. Alex, they knew exactly who he was, and they knew exactly what he was there for, and that is really good.
Yeah, the AEW fans are really knowledgeable. People have been waiting for this like for a long time, and he just looks perfect. Like, it's just a perfect. He's the perfect giant sidekick for Malakai Black. Like, he looked like Malakai Black created him in a lab or like in the vats at the base of Mount Doom. Like, it's perfect. And he just comes in. He's just a block of just tattooed meat, just throwing things at people. I love it. I can't wait to see what these guys do. The House of Black has two members now. I would not be opposed to seeing this grow into like a five person thing where like Black can sit on the throne on high and send people at the ring to kill people. I think there could be a lot of fun stuff to do here, but right now, man, this is a tag team that I think you could start picking up wins with. And I would love to see some tag matches with these two guys.
It really revitalizes the division. Brent Lockman says, rejoice. The King has arrived. Chris Rain says, Brody King looking like an absolute monster. Kings of the Black Throne in AEW. ShotKid29 says, anyone else think Griff was Christopher Lloyd and Roger Rabbit and Brody King was the Road Roller, or just me? Dan Janoff, the debut of Brody King was awesome. If only there was a site that I could have potentially heard about that coming beforehand. Well, I do want to give credit to our dude Cassidy Haynes at BodySlam.net, who reported that Brody King has signed. He's done some incredible work, especially over the last year. We did have on FightfulSelect.com that he was there tonight. He had done some stuff in the ring with Varsity Blondes before the match. Robert, we've got Brent Lockman saying Malakai verse is so much more compelling than Cody verse. Black feels like a freaking supervillain.
He does, and nobody's mentioned it, but I'll say it. Brody King looks like the Pokemon evolution of Aleister Black. Like, this dude is just huge, and he looks great. And thank God they paid off that lights off, lights on, because people were getting itchy. One thing nobody's talked about, Julia Hart was like calling them off.
So Zach Barber asks if she's joining House of Black.
I think she might be, because she had almost like a sixth sense about what was about to happen, because she's calling them off saying, that's enough, get out of there. And they didn't listen, and out came Brody King. This is great. Them against Sting and Darby, while we still can, I think that needs to happen. Them against just everybody on the roster. Obviously, the tag champions have a very similar dynamic. Be a really cool match to see. I'm just glad he's there. I think he's deserved this for a while. And I think guys like Punk want to get in there with him. And it's going to be really good to see what he does.
Now we have Volob saying, what happens to the rest of Violence Unlimited? I'd love to see Chris Dickinson too. Well, he's hurt right now. Tony Deppen, I don't think, was ever signed. He's going to get a lot of indie dates. Homicide's going to continue to work a bunch of indie dates, especially with the Hammerstein show coming
Mox
up
soon.
Yes, he's supposed to face Moxley at Hammerstein. I love me some Sova says that cannonball in the corner was nasty.
God, I thought he was going to pop his head like a watermelon. He went in there so hard. Jeez.
Matthew notes, found myself confused trying to decipher the feuds in the back half. Hardy, Penta, Malachi. Why was Eddie out there again? Am I just dense? Couldn't follow who was beefing with who and why. I mean, it's understandable, especially when, like, for years and years and years, we've had a show or shows that are like one person you feud with, then you get the hell off the show and you're not seen the rest of the night. I like that they switch it up a little bit and there's a reason. And then if somebody doesn't show up, that probably should show up, you're like, well, why weren't they there?
Yeah.
And then they can go off of that.
There's a lot of the enemy of my enemy is my friend in AEW. And I don't mind it so much because it does make sense that, like, Penta hates Malachi because of what Malachi did to Pac. And the Varsity Blondes hate Penta, hate Malachi Black for what he did to, you know, like, that makes sense. That, not like Penta and Pillman Jr. are out going to go out and have milkshakes later. Like, they just hate the same guy. Like, that makes sense to me. But I agree that I think they made too much of, like, Matt Hardy versus Penta. Like, it was just Penta had an open challenge. Matt Hardy answered it because he was in North Carolina. I think they kind of made too much of it beyond being an actual match. But I do love the idea of Andrade recruiting Matt Hardy and the Hardy family office to get to the bottom of just who this little kid is who works for Mr. Sting. Cause that's really interesting to me.
We still have plenty of super chats and humper chats about this segment. Get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. Get your question or statement read on the air. Sawyer says, my most fantasiest booking is Athena debuts as a member of House of Black. That is something out of left field that I think sounds really good, because I think if she just pops up as Athena, we'll have a lot of the same concerns that we had about her in NXT, especially as far as the identity go. And I think she could probably sink her teeth into something like this really well. And I think that working with a Brody King and a Malachi Black. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Would be beneficial for all of them from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah.
I think that Malachi Black could provide her with some incredible like adjustment to the on-screen character and persona. Brent Lockman says, while we're manifesting, I'd finish off House of Black with Swerve and the Briscoes for pure chaotic energy. I don't think the Briscoes will be a part of anybody else's act. I think they are their act.
Somebody mentioned in the chat, the Butcher and the Blade, about facing Brody King and Malachi. I would love them to face each other, and at the end, they are like subsumed into the House of Black. The Butcher and the Blade specifically look like they belong in that kind of a thing. Anyway, they'd be great as like henchmen.
ShotKid29 says the gut feeling is Julia and Pac join the House of Black with eyes to match Malachi's, whose own eye was different tonight. Foreshadowing? Possibly.
Everybody is so self-righteous in this company and in this like world that I think Pac just comes out and beats the crap out of all of them. Beats the crap out of Cody, beats the crap out of House of Black. I think Pac is going to be the actual blind justice in this entire story.
Just a completely force of chaotic good because everybody is evil in his mind. I love it.
Mark Losper says, follow-up from the NXT show, Alex Malachi Black is the only spooky BS I can accept, at least until he starts throwing fireballs.
Here's the thing about Malachi, man. It's not nothing really all that spooky about it. He's just really into, like, death metal. Like he's an awesome, like, dark kickboxing king. Like, that's awesome. It doesn't have to be like, you know, oh, I teleported, or I can conjure up fireballs, or you see me with my face paint off, and then all of a sudden you see me with my face paint on. Like, it's just him being creepy, which is awesome.
I don't cover a lot of NXT on the podcast, but if they don't have Wendy Chu sleeping in Mei Ying's throne at some point, they've got to be self-aware enough to do that.
I don't think they are.
I wish they would. They got Raquel Gonzalez doing video interviews in the damn thing right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the most use they've got out of it. Man, I love the response to this. Brent Lockman says, Kings of the Black Throne, there's license to print money. Good to see King has a better travel agent than Veer. Anakin notes, when Wardlow powerbombs Spears, he needs to do it 10 times and then do the hand motion.
Oh
my God, they need to do that.
That is fantastic. I love it. Eloquent says, attendance was definitely lower tonight, but even sellout shows, if you notice, they don't like the whole crowd like they used to. Wish they would. That was one of my favorite things about AEW is they let people know that people were there to watch the show.
Yeah.
It wasn't all dark. Like, you cast a light on them like, look, our show is cool. People are here. It felt very drab tonight, and that's something I hope doesn't become a regular. Something else I don't hope is something regular. Dan Lambert's on the show. Cut one of his more tolerable promos.
Honestly, I thought that was the best thing that he's done. Like, yes, on the mic, it's perfect.
Hangman Page wants a new challenger. Dan Lambert's out there, and he's like, "Listen, you're not Blackjack Mulligan, you're not Blackjack Lanza, you're not Dick Murdoch, you're not a cowboy." And Hangman's like, "Bro, yes, I am actually." And then Lance Archer comes back, and Dan Lambert is shitting in his pants because why wouldn't he? I love that bit of continuity. I love it. But also, I love that Lance Archer, while he's in the ring, is like, yeah, you got a point. I'm going to beat up Hangman Page instead. Now, I had tweeted, I hope they give him some wins, because the last time we saw him, he was losing in the first round of a title contender tournament. It was brought up to me, records reset, so close as anybody. And I said,
all he's got to do is pick up a couple wins on Dark, and he's in the top spot.
That's it, and I buy it. If that's the rule that's established, I'm cool with it. Love the blackout onto the chair. Holy crap. But I got to say, The most devastating move was Hangman Page calling Dan Lambert a walking Facebook profile photo. Robert, that was...
Somebody needs to make that t-shirt. That is money. Dan Lambert is groan-inducing. Dan Lambert is a lot of things. In this case, you guys are right. This was very tolerable because he didn't have to resort to anything really cheap. But I don't like the idea of, hey, we're going to use Archer again to get this champion over because they've done it too much.
I do think that this is the best use for that particular thing. Like, Hangman needs a big victory quickly over an intimidating counterpart. Like, I was like, gosh, I don't want it to be Miro if he's healthy, because I don't want Miro to lose. Archer's perfect. Archer's just the perfect guy to put in front of Hangman, make Hangman look like he's got to play underdog. He's able to beat him, and he can move through to the next big-time feud heading into something else. I think that they can do this and make it look well, because I don't know how long Hangman Page's reign is going to be. It may be really long, but it may be a shorter one. And if so, you got to give him one that's like that he just comes out looking like the guy.
Yeah. So in the last year and a half, we've had Cody beating Archer for the TNT title. We've had Archer losing to Moxley in an AEW title match. We've had him come up short in the ladder match as well. And, you know, any number of top contender matches. He lost to Miro for the TNT title. He lost in the Eliminator tournament. So I do get if some people have a little bit of fatigue about him being in that. I do think it was very, very important last year that AEW had Lance Archer beat Jon Moxley for that U.S. title, the IWGP U.S. title, and then him defend it on that show. I thought that was very important, because at some point it would be boy who cries wolf with him in that, in any title picture. And we don't think that he's going to win this world title, but you know what? Tell us a story, give us a reason, and I'm game for it. And also, great to see Lance Archer back. Just yes. Great after.
Gosh, that was such a scary injury, man. I thought he was dead.
It was horrifying, man. Yeah. It was so scary. Oh man, Brent Lockman says, love that Hangman was out there looking for a challenger, not waiting like all champions have before him. Me too. He wants to fight. He said 90 minutes isn't enough. I want more. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Nerd Drew says,
I do want to bring this up though. You mentioned the rankings. Scorpio is ranked. He's like in the top five. Mm-hmm. Lambert's there, so why isn't this leading towards that?
I would like Lambert to like say, yes, it was supposed to be. That's what I was doing. And I wouldn't even mind if Lambert kind of ditched them for Archer. Because I mean, we don't know if Roberts will be back anytime soon. Or they ditch Lambert as well, because Archer could use Lambert a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly don't need him. We keep saying that. They can talk for themselves. I mean, if Jake can't be around, Lambert's a guy who could manage, quote unquote, manage Archer.
Robert says, do you think there's a chance of a Crockett Cup tourney with Mr. Crockett around? Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea.
NWA has that, like,
I think that's theirs,
trademark on lock, but David Crockett is there a lot, and I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I think they'll do some sort of tag team tournament, even if it's not the Crockett Cup. But yeah, I think that's a real possibility, honestly.
They should.
Mark Losper says, Joel Pearl said in this chat that WrestleTix tweeted there were only 700 tickets left out of 5,500. Seemed like a good gate. The mic was just, or the crowd was mic'd horribly. I'd like to see some venue shots. Anakin says Scorpio isn't ranked currently.
Well, he was last week.
Well, is he now? Please check it now if anybody can. WrestleTix goes based on tickets distributed. So if there are ones that the company gives out as comps, then they end up getting counted as well. And a lot of times those comps are provided, I don't know about with AEW, but with other companies, to businesses or any number of things when tickets aren't moving. And people sometimes show up and sometimes don't. Nerd Guru says, missed Dynamite tonight, but love the Brody King debut. DMD Elite is pretty dope. But man, this crowd should be ashamed of themselves. It was very quiet. And let's talk about how quiet it was during Acclaimed and Bear Country. Man, you could hear a pin drop here. Until the end of this match, when Sting showed up and Darby showed up, all due respect to both of these teams, I was like, why? This is an AEW Dark match. At best, an AEW Rampage match. Acclaimed win. I could have just went without the match. Pablo says, would Sting winning the tag titles be a lovely last hurrah or an unnecessary nostalgia title win like Brett winning the U.S. title? Well, personally, I think it'd be a fine bit of both. I think it'd be a fine nostalgia last hurrah because Sting is out there doing everything. He's looking good while he's doing it, and that's really all I can ask for. But Alex, what'd you think about this match?
Well, for one, never seen a double end of days before. That was impressive. That was impressive as hell. That dude's a big old strong boy.
Oh, yeah.
And
totally beef son's a bitch right there.
I don't see Max Caster's elbow drop enough. Maybe I don't watch enough Dark or Elevation, but I think it's a really good looking elbow drop from the top rope. Like really solid. And that's always going to pop me. I'll always pop for a really good elbow drop from the top rope. Going back to Macho Man, that's going to be a thing for me. This didn't seem like it needed to be on the show. And yet I was entertained by it. But again, if it was on Dark and I was watching that, I'd be like, yeah, cool match. But it didn't feel like it was there except for the fact that they wanted to get to Darby and Sting versus the Acclaimed is a thing they want to do. Which the other thing I love about AEW is that Darby and Sting is a thing they're doing with the Acclaimed. Also, Andrade El Idolo is out here trying to start something up with Darby and Mr. Sting. And I think it's kind of cool that people can be feuding with two separate groups at the same time because you'd never know what's going to come out of that. And I think that's kind of interesting.
Alex, Robert, I don't think we need matches like this unless you're going to establish the precedent of you can have this match every now and again, and this is your excuse to get more than one women's match on the show, because then I'd be fine with it. But we're saying too often on these shows that, oh, well, this might have happened on Dark or Elevation. They need to start carving out 5 minutes on each Dynamite to say, here's what happened on Dark, here's what happened on Elevation. Now you're a little caught up. That would help so much. As far as Sting winning the tag titles, yeah, hook it to my veins. They need to have like a jungle cinematic match with Jurassic Express at the pay-per-view, and I'd be all for it.
I still remember how excited they were to stress, this is not a cinematic match! We repeat with Sting! This is not a cinematic match! I will never forget that. Eloquence says, why isn't CM Punk ranked? Did they switch up? Do they reset at the end of the year, too, the rankings? Or do those carry over?
Definitely reset at the end of the year. And I know, like, Cole is number one now. Now that Brian's out of the way, Cole's number one.
Honestly, I don't pay attention to the rankings at all. I pay attention to who wins and loses, though. I love me some Sova says, Cole, Hobbs, Dante, Wardlow, Garcia. Hey, those are pretty solid rankings, too.
Well, Wardlow's not going to stay on that.
Nope.
So maybe they'll switch somebody up.
Hobbs is going to drop. Garcia's going to drop. Dante's probably going to pop up to number two. But damn, we might see Hangman Page and Dante. That could be a lot of fun. Good luck taking that buckshot lariat, buddy. Van Twinblade says, here's five more to get Alex a space heater. It's going to suck up there this week.
I have one. It's just too loud to run during the show.
Oh, man. Mike Lima says, what if Archer feuds with Men of the Year after losing the Hangman? Archer doesn't care who he kills because everybody dies. That sounds like a blast to me.
That's cool, too.
Irene notes, Battle of the Belts had surprisingly strong ratings. Any chance Rampage moves to Saturday and expands to 2 hours would help with a large roster. I hope it doesn't expand to 2 hours. I hope not. If so, they probably got to get like cut a lot from Dark and Elevation.
I would say that moving to Saturday seems like a good idea, considering how much higher those ratings were on for that Battle of the Belts than they were for any kind of Rampage.
Saturday at 6 seems good because what they drew for movies in that time slot, as Jimmy put out, is more than what Rampage drew.
And how have they not done Saturday at 6:05 yet? Like, that seems like Cody's knocking on Tony's door every day. We're doing it yet?
But like, I know that they generally start things at six anyway. I don't care. Make the first 5 minutes like a pre-show, like a 5 minute Tony Schiavone just sitting there with a microphone telling you what's going to go on, and then say the show has started. At
well, that's where you could show us what happened on Dark and Elevation during those five minutes.
You know, but there's two factors here. One, it was live, and two, it wasn't at 10 p.m. I think anything at 8, 7, 6 doesn't matter, but 10 p.m. on a Friday night is just not a great slot.
Yep. Brett says, with DC Rampage being live, do you think they'll do a pre-show on YouTube like Miami? What match would you put on it? When is the DC Rampage?
Should be next week.
Next week? Ooh, that's interesting. I think if for live Rampages, you got to put something good on it. Man, I was at that one in Minnesota, and it made me decide that I never needed to go to another pre-pay-per-view Rampage again. I think they could probably chop about 30, 35 minutes off their pay-per-views that are really long and put some of that important stuff on Rampage. So just Friday, I think it's just such a dead slot. It's just such a dead time, and there's not a lot of buzz on that. But if they're doing more Saturday stuff, I think that does have a bit of a buzz. It feels more like a fight night on Saturdays. Mark Losper says, pretty sure Casper said we have a shot like Novak Djokovic, which is an Australian watching somewhat of an international incident over his vaccination status was something. That certainly was something. Mike Preventure too says, expand to 2 hours and dedicate that extra 60 minutes of content spread out over both shows to additional women's matches and segments. Cool. Sounds like you guys want Alex reviewing AEW on Saturdays, because I'm not. That much I tell you. Oh, Dante Martin defeats Powerhouse Hobbs. Pablo Amaya says, it's 2027. Dante Martin is AEW champion. Taz is still on commentary. His lawyers are still looking into that contract. Manifest it, universe. My favorite part of this, Alex, was JR saying, like, you still got people looking into it. What's going on? Taz goes, I don't have a good legal team.
That's what you're doing, really? Like, you did this. I was so excited for this intrigue of Dante signing with Team Taz and, like, right in front of Leo, who seemed genuinely shocked by it. And you got one match with him and Starks and Hobbs together in a trios match on Dark, and then Dante swerved them. They only ever showed Leo and Dante together talking about it on an episode of Dark or Road 2 or something. They never showed it on television. And now you got Taz trying to, like, somehow keep the storyline afloat by saying, we're still looking into how he might have gotten out of that contract. Like, it doesn't, like, you got to figure out if you're going to do the storyline, like, do it and go for it. Like, that's not a great way to do this whole thing. Also, I will say, I think this match suffered by its placement on the card right after Punk versus Wardlow. You do Dante versus Hobbs. It's the same basic story that you have to tell. You have the giant guy and the guy fighting from underneath.
Mark Losper says, I really don't want to think this, but unfortunately I do. I hope Leo isn't being punished for him publicly calling out TK, because Jay Lethal rescuing Dante makes no sense whatsoever. Ooh. I agree. And I don't know. I've got an interview with Leo this week, and part of it couldn't run, but he gave a very great answer to everything, and he was incredibly level-headed and all that. And I hope not, because Leo in the ring and on the mic and as far as delivery, I think is a special, special talent. And I've always believed that. So I hope not. But the Jay Lethal thing, Robert, didn't make any sense to me. How did you feel about that? By the way, Dante got the win with a beautiful moonsault.
Yes, and Dante, I had a little bit of a problem with the way that this match was laid out, because Dante's very athletic, and I think he was trying to Kurt Hennig his way through this, and he was just literally launching himself all over the place. But it'll take some time, but he'll get the art form of it down. But the Jay Lethal thing makes no sense. Look, I saw the tweets that Leo put about TK, but honestly, they seemed so positive at the end of it. And we've seen Leo have a negative at the end of certain situations with some companies. This wasn't that. So I'm hoping it's not the case and that maybe they're just playing it safe because he's got dates.
We got somebody saying that Leo asked for time off due to the rise in COVID cases and having a young family. I mean, he's working New Japan Seattle this Saturday.
Yeah,
he's working
he's doing other stuff.
Working GCW dates. He was. I mean, he. I don't think he's wrestled since Defy, but I mean, I don't know if I haven't heard that specifically. Right. I don't know if it was reported somewhere. Zach says, I know this is unrelated. Any word on Asuka? Buddy, you better believe me. I will report it as soon as I can get it.
Not only did it feel like Jay Lethal coming down to save Dante seemed like it was out of left field, but Dante getting literally passed around from rescue mission to rescue mission to get this guy, like, it doesn't, and Dante falling in with the wrong crowd again. Like, let's just not do any of, like, just Dante go. I can't wait for his brother to come back so we can just get some great top flight matches.
Yeah.
And all of this intrigue with Dante now has become really convoluted. Like, let's just get some top flight matches out of the whole thing. Darius, back whenever you can, buddy.
What's going to happen is Dante, the Lucha Bros, and the Butcher and the Blade are going to start, like, a new faction called the Shelter, because they just keep going from different, like, foster on the foster home, and they're just going to end up forming a foster family together.
Brendan says, everybody wants to be involved in Dante. Makes sense why Lethal would want a part of that. That would make sense to me, too. As a part of this ongoing, every single person wants the team with Dante thing. Because, I mean, we see Matt Sydal still being used in storylines. Team Taz wanted him. Leo wanted him. But ultimately, blood is thicker than water. But you got to keep Leo tied to this. I think Leo is so goddamn good. Axel says, Sting busting the Acclaimed boombox popped my partner so hard. So many giggles. Hi, Elise. Man, that was so awesome. So perfect. Really dug it. We had a Layla, Chris, and Velvet interview. And there's some stuffs going on here, Alex. Sawyer says, I'm glad AEW is trying to teach me that Statlander and Hirsch are friends on Dark. But that interview segment, woof.
What'd you think? did not go over well. it also really, I don't know. It felt so much like a beginning acting class that I used to teach. We're like, the three of us will stand in a line, and then I will turn to you and I will say my line, and I will turn to you and I will say my line. And the person will go, hey now, guys, we should just focus. And there was no actual human contact. It was just people saying words. And I feel like there's gotta be both, especially WWE, but AEW as well, just need to employ an acting coach who's there to, like, teach them, okay, like, this is how we're like, let's run over this. Let's figure out how we're going to say this thing, because sometimes people don't have that kind of experience. I don't expect them to, but it can be difficult to, like, get across things without sounding robotic.
I know she's still not a part of the show anymore, but I think that would have been a good thing to have Awesome Kong around for, because she's got actual acting experience now, and she kind of could have helped with that.
And I understand what you're saying, and they do need to get better. I do think the reps will help them with that. But compared to the garbage that I had to watch between Nikki and Rhea on Monday, this was Citizen Kane. Like, this did not bother me in any way in terms of their acting. Yeah, it was a bit wooden, but I wouldn't expect any less.
Let me ask you, Robert. Who was right and who was wrong between Nikki and Rhea?
There's only one good answer here, Robert.
They were both wrong for standing there and allowing that to happen.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
The hell's wrong with you? Rhea was trying to be mature. Rhea was doing everything she could, Alex. I'm with you.
Doing everything she could.
Man. Yeah,
almost superheroes don't need any friends. So after that argument, what do you got?
She kissed her on the head, even. She was being very sweet.
She
was very much like, shut the fuck up. Like one of those, like, trying. Oh, man. Nerd Guru says, that didn't sound human before. It's an alien.
I mean, that is true.
That is true.
Oh, boy. Some stupid punk says, oi, legends, can't watch live because I get to watch Dynamite now. So excited. Sorry I missed the episode with Jimmy Van earlier. This is mostly for Alex, but SRS, have you heard? Kalex wants another show. How much does Mark need to give? Another show? What other show could you all possibly want?
We want to do a wrestling rumors show where we're just shooting the breeze.
Listen, that sounds like something that could actually drive some subscriptions. So I'd consider it if it could. But like, eventually, I'm going to get these invoice reports back, and I'm going to be like, at what point did I commit to all of these?
I don't know. Well, I'll have my legal team contact your legal team.
Brendan says, well, I don't have a good legal team, just so you know. I've got Taz's.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it's better than Drake Wirtz's and Matt Riddle's, who shared the same guy. Brendan said, I'm just glad that AEW is doing something with Layla Hirsch. She's awesome in the ring. She is awesome in the ring. She's incredible. Marco says, who is the better concept of friendship, Andrade or Denise? Andrade, by far. Because you know what? I can be bought as a friend. Absolutely. But I would not sit there and deal with that malarkey that Nikki was dealing with. Not at all. Not at all. It's just ridiculous. Mark Losper says, I know who was wrong during that Rhea and Nikki segment. Vince for putting it on TV. That too.
Yeah, no.
FTR, Lee Johnson, Brock and Glock. This makes all the sense in the world to me, doing Lee Johnson against Brock Anderson, and Dax Harwood saying, how about facing the guy that your dad wishes was his son? Alex, I know this had to be great for you.
Oh, it's so good. I just love FTR just coming out right out and saying it right in front of Brock too. And it was so good. And I like it's we're in horseman country. And then Tully walks up and like, why don't you ditch the dead weight and come over and be with us? That's where it's at. Oh God. I thought this was just beautiful. And I the thing is that this is, I mean, FTR and the Briscoes are doing so much work to set up this thing on Twitter. I can't wait for whenever the Briscoes decide to show up. And I think it would be a perfect time to do it at the end of this match where they beat the crap out of Brock Anderson.
Robert, this was just simple, easy.
And this is right up my alley. Anything that has to do with Arn and Tully being in the same room at the same time, doing the same thing, this is why I'm watching, because these guys are so good. They were kept off of TV for years. In Tully's case, it was like 20, 30 years with no Tully Blanchard on TV. And Arn... Dax Harwood looking at Arn and saying, see you next week, Dad, might be the greatest thing he's ever said. This is simple. This is easy. Eventually, we've got to get Arn and Tully on the same page. I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger.
The handshake. Jade Cargill had a video package, but then we led to Sheeta Deeb 4. Sheeta makes her way out to the ring, and Deeb just beats her ass with a kendo stick before the match. Completely aggressive. You had to see it. I mean, listen, I didn't really want another Sheeta Deeb match. I'll give AEW credit in that if they do rematches over and over again, they give you a reason. This reason, as Mark Losper points out, says, do you know if Sheeta was written off TV? Because it looks like she was. That would make a lot of sense to me. I've heard she has a project coming up in Japan. I don't know, though. I have asked, and even top people there aren't that sure, but it would make an awful lot of sense. Robert, I loved Serena Deeb's aggression here. She just was, first off, she was jacked. Jacked. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if you're going to do a fourth match, that's how you do it. You don't wait to get in the ring. You attack before the entrance. You attack the leg. You have the baby face, just too proud to give it up, and then fight from underneath until the referee just has to call it. The Tequila Sunrise is a beautiful submission hold. Deeb needs to win that TBS title. It's a shame it's on somebody who cannot lose right now, because it needs to be with Deeb. And I hope that Sheeta is written off, and I hope that when she comes back, Deeb does have a title, and Sheeta just rips it away from her in a violent, vengeful attack.
Trey says, at what point does the lack of women matches become a serious issue for AEW? Will it impact their ability to recruit females? Eventually, yeah, but as of now, I don't think it will. But if it doesn't change soon, I do think so.
Alex, what do you think? I don't know. I think that's got to be on an individual basis for the women who might be coming in. I will say, this was the match I was most excited about coming into tonight, because I loved their matches before. I think Serena Deeb is the best heel, male or female, in wrestling, because she is just so vicious and she's so great at it. But at no point do I root for her, because like Adam Cole's so much fun. I know he's a heel, but I just love watching him wrestle. Like, I love watching Serena Deeb wrestle because I can appreciate the artistry that she works with, but also she's awful. She's an asshole. Yeah. Like that. So like that kind of, like she gets Bully Ray heat. Like, that's what Serena Deeb does. And I think she's great. And I love Sheeta as well. So them basically doing a non-match, like the attack beforehand, and then Sheeta basically having to fight through a destroyed knee until the ref stopped it, not Sheeta tapped out. To me, this isn't even a real match. So, and that was the only women's match on the card. I don't miss one, right? That was it. Like, you got to figure out a way. Like, there's no reason to do the Acclaimed and Bear Country when you could have had some other women's match. Like Jade's gonna need a title contender. Have two top women have a match, and whoever wins that faces Jade next week on, like, do that instead of the Bear Country and Acclaim match. If this is the only women's match on the card and you're not actually gonna do a real match with it, that makes it look even worse.
Joey says, I wish they'd use this as a way to bring back White Suit Sheeta. She goes full mob boss, ordering hit after hit on Deeb. You'd have to make Deeb a baby face by then for that to work, I think. But I would love an aggressive Sheeta to come back and be like full on, like, yeah, I'm going to screw you up. I Love Me Some Sova says, Serena Deeb about to run through that entire women's division en route to the AEW Women's Championship. I feel like there was a super or a Humper Chat missed about her needing to win the Owen, which I think would be great. But yeah. Christopher says, can't wait for Deeb to murder Sky Blue next week. That should be a massacre. It should be the way that after this, it should be a massacre. R26 says, the Sheeta Deeb booking and match length made sense for the circumstances, but that being the only women's match is beating a dead horse at this point. It's been over 2 years and we're still doing this minimalist crap with the division.
You know what, though? They have made significant improvements. I'm not going to sit here and say that I love everything about it, but they do have more than one title. They do main event with regularity. Granted, it's
Jade vignette, backstage interview, Britt Baker in the opening segment. Like, it's not like this is the only thing on the show.
It's the only thing strictly pertaining to the women's division in ring, and that is an issue, but I think they will grow over time.
Yes, and I would like to see a show with more than one women's match on it, or several shows. Josh says, Deeb, the gatekeeper for the women's division, please. Oh, I think she should be well above that. I think she should be well above that.
Yeah,
guys, get in your super chats and your Humper Chats, humperchats.com. We would greatly appreciate it. We're heading down the home stretch. We got Van Twin Blade says, wait, by the way, before we get into that, I feel like Sting saw Chris Jericho paint his hair up and was like, you know what? Let me just run that black all the way around my face paint. Shout out, buddy. I got the old widow's peak. I ain't losing my hair, but I got the widow's peak. Well, smart, buddy. Oh, Van Twin Blade says, come on, Jericho. Hurry up and go pure shithead heel so Santana and Ortiz can reform LAX with Eddie and Diamante. Well, that sounds awesome.
That would be great.
Jericho discovered on this night that he's a bit of a dick. He's a bit of a dick because the Inner Circle just kind of walk away from everybody. And Jericho ends by saying, GFY.
Jesus Christ.
To which my far too innocent significant other says, what does that mean? Good for you?
Good for you, buddy.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. And to which I said, not quite. Not quite. Oh, Dan Janoff says that Jericho segment improved once Eddie got involved, but I'm annoyed that Jericho tends to overshadow everyone else in the Inner Circle. Well, I'm hopeful that they are also tired of that
I hope so.
Alex, what do you think?
By the way, PWI voters, how are you voting the Inner Circle Faction of the Year? I mean, even if you like them, they haven't really been a faction since Stadium Stampede.
I don't think they should have
broken up, but they've split out in all those different directions.
I don't think I'd have them top five in the company they're in.
Like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Jericho does seem to be like, no, hey, Eddie Kingston, you butt out. This is our thing. We're the best. We're all of us are best friends. Like, even if Jericho is an asshole, he doesn't think he's the asshole. That's the whole point, I suppose. But also, nobody seems like, it didn't seem like Santana Ortiz were backing Eddie Kingston either. They just want the whole thing to go away.
Which I like. Maybe it's time that the whole thing just goes away. You know, maybe we don't need to be arguing over who is better friends to Santana and Ortiz. Maybe Santana and Ortiz just need to win belts. I don't care if it's Jericho that stopped them. I just kind of want to see them do it
now. I mean, Eddie Kingston is right. He's absolutely right when he says, do you know why you're not tag team champs? Because you've been messing around with this guy for the entire time you've been in AEW, which is unequivocally true. And yet, like, I think he's supposed to be looked at as the a-hole for saying it out loud when, no, he's just speaking truths. That's all Eddie Kingston does is speak only truths.
Kyrick says, just finished the show. Now going to go back and watch your review is a good one. Well, thank you for supporting us with that Humper Chat. Again, guys, we're at the main event. So head on over and leave some. Daniel Garcia, Sammy Guevara, TNT title. Daniel Garcia is quickly becoming my favorite worker. He's so good. Alicia says, am I the only one who is really rooting for DG to win? No, I wish they would have done it. I wish they would have done it with Jericho out there. And maybe Jericho does one little thing. I don't want it to be a full-on distraction, but enough for Sammy to go, man, what the hell? And Daniel Garcia wins, because I think that would be very cool. Because lately, Daniel Garcia has been picking up those wins. Like, of late, they've made it very clear, like, no. He's going to be a guy for us. Chris Reigns points out how Garcia bends back on that sharpshooter. Yep. Ooh, that is good technique.
So good, yeah.
Good technique. Robert, how'd you feel about this and the interaction after this match, which Sammy did win?
I love the match. I think DG should be the champion. I know Cody's coming back next week, which is great for this, so they can get it over with, because we're going to get another Cody-Sammy match. Yeah. But I think DG should be the champion. He needs to be the FTW champion or something. They need to create a belt just for him to have open challenges and beat the crap out of people. He needs to get some consistent wins that matter, because I think he's winning on other shows, but as we've said multiple times, we're not seeing all of that.
And buddy, I can't wait for Hook versus Daniel Garcia one day.
Right, that's what ready to get to. And the match itself was fine. Like, Sammy's great, you know. My favorite move in the match was that sharpshooter, because he bent back into almost like an Indian deathlock kind of move forming out of that. The GTH is great. Dustin kicked out of that. I don't know why, you know, spry young Daniel Garcia could not, but, you know, it is what it is. Interaction afterwards, too much. I don't care where this Jericho and Kingston thing is going. I think that's worth saying. I don't care where it's going. Kingston needs some wins. Jericho needs to get into a feud where he won't feel like the old guy sucking the fun out of everything, because he's not usually that.
I think he should be the old guy sucking fun out of everything. I think that should be his run, is
like he should do that on purpose.
You're saying he should be a heel doing that.
Yes,
as opposed to like unintentionally. Like he thinks he is the fun. Jericho's injecting fun into things, but he's really
Jericho sees Sammy as the guy in the Inner Circle, and then he looks across the ring and he's like, that Daniel Garcia, he wasn't here a year ago, much less 2 years ago when I was running things. And he wants, like, a very much a my spot kind of guy, because I think that really, really works here. Because even when it comes to the older guys, he's not the top one anymore. Raul Ortega says he's happy to see two young Latino main event Dynamite. When's the last time that happened? Luis, thank you to Luis, our moderator, says Penta Phoenix for the AEW Championship Tournament in 2019, if his calculations are correct. Big thank you to Luis. Please give him a follow, guys. And Showoff says, main event fantasy booking. Brawl between 2.0, Eddie and Chris. Y2J accidentally cost Guevara the title. And then Eddie could say that now, not only because of Y2J, LAX don't have the titles, but also Sammy. This could lead to the breakup and an Eddie-Jericho feud. I dig that. But Alex, how are you feeling about this whole segment, the direction, etc.?
Like, I mean, I'm all for Eddie getting the rub from feuding with Jericho as long as he beats Jericho. That's the second part that I'm worried about, is that I just feel like Jericho's just going to, like, the plan, of course, going into the whole thing is for Eddie to come out on top. But then Jericho just, like, knocks on Tony Khan's door, disappears into it, and comes out with a big smile on his face. Like, that's what I'm worried about in my own headcanon. This whole TNT title thing, I loved the match tonight, and I think Sammy Guevara has thrown up nothing but bangers since he became originally the TNT champion. But I gotta say it, losing the TNT title to Cody on a taped Rampage that ran on Christmas, and then neither of them appearing on Dark or Rampage, Dynamite or Rampage before they were to have another rematch. Like, you gotta do something with the storyline of Cody taking it from Sammy, and then Sammy, like, kind of taking it from Cody by beating Cody's brother, and now they're each TNT champions. Like, they still haven't done anything with the story. That's what the TNT title, since Sammy got it, has been lacking, a real story. It's been having great matches, but no real story.
I like Dana saying, set up Sammy versus Jericho. Sammy wins. IC 2.0 Bullet Club style rebrand. That seems like one that has a natural story to it. R26 says, I think Daniel Garcia should have won 100%. I don't want AEW to go full. It's a swerve, bro. But one surprise result every now and then would be cool. We don't really get them. And again, as long as it's good, I really don't mind hot potatoing of a title or some titles. Just make it good. Make the stories good. Make the reasoning good. Make it make sense. And I'm for it. Brett says, if Garcia would have won Terminus, if Garcia would have won, Terminus would have had champs from AEW, Impact, and ROH. Sorry, I'm super excited to go to that show. Don't apologize. That is a badass looking show.
Yeah, it really does.
Hope you guys support it. Baron Black and Jonathan Gresham are great dudes. Kate Hensler says, don't like PWI's covers, but that magazine is beautiful on the inside. Well, you know what? It is about what's on the inside, and you can't judge a book or a magazine by its cover, Kate Hensler. I guess you learned a lesson, didn't you? Jay Blood says, this should be the vehicle for the concept of the Inner Circle match with Jericho. It's an ego trip. Eddie pinning that on Jericho is great. You know what? I'm going to pin the blame for our magazine not getting promoted on Kate Hensler, because she didn't say anything about this month's Fightful magazine. Oh, look at that. I don't have the right overlay. Danhausen is the cover star here this month. We've got articles on Minoru Suzuki, Jake Paul, Piper Niven. We have Nate Marquardt, a UFC title challenger, writing for us, EC3. And we did a giveaway, which is, man, look at that. I don't even have the right overlay. Where were we at? We did a giveaway of late on FightfulSelect.com, where you get a digital edition if you subscribe to Fightful Select. I know a couple of you had trouble with those. We will have our tech team on that ASAP. Anakin says, if Garcia would have won, he most likely would have lost to Cody. Would rather, when Garcia wins, he hold it for a while. I wouldn't mind if he won it tonight and lost it to Cody in a couple weeks. Like, I just wouldn't mind it at all. Cody is the top star in that company. Danny Boy said, I love Deeb. She definitely grew on me after that, because I got a PhD on this shiznit. I didn't like that one. And she's going to be facing a promising Sky Blue next week. Sky Blue is super over in the Chicago area. Where are they at next week?
D.C.
D.C.? Going to be a tough one for Sky Blue.
The family of Sky Blue, 1 week from now, will ask you to send flowers to the funeral home, because that's going to be a rough ending for old Sky Blue.
Also, I'm told Daniel Garcia is a fellow Ruckus member for the Ruckus. R26 says, I understand your guys' point on the women division making improvement, but we've been saying that for over a year, and we're still getting one match per show. I'm close to giving up hope we'll ever get a regular second one. We just got another title. We got a several-month-long feud. We've got Britt Baker being integrated into a top storyline on the men's side of things. I don't think it's as grim as we've moved out of the 9:30 slot right. over the past year. There have been strides, and I think to imply otherwise is disingenuous.
And I also think because of the massive WWE cuts, they're going to get some experienced talent that might be able to anchor a second match on TV better than some of the people they have now.
Alex, I said on a lot of my Q&A shows, when people said, who could you realistically see going from WWE to AEW for the first year and a half, I said Ember Moon always would be important for a lot of different things, for representation, both as a woman and a black woman in the ring, as a veteran, as a ring general, as somebody with global exposure. Like she does things that other women in that company do not do.
Right. Exactly. Whenever somebody would send me a question of who would you want from WWE to go to AEW, I always said Ember Moon, because I think she was horribly underutilized, miscast in WWE. And I think she's so great in the ring. I think she fit in perfectly here. I think that the whole thing is that they have made strides, and to imply otherwise is disingenuous. And to say that they are all the way there is absolutely not true, because they've got a long way to go. I think they might be halfway to where they need to get. I mean, there's a lot left to do. They have Rampage now. They've got the Rampage. They've got the two women's titles. Now we're going to have to see quickly things catch up to where they need to be. They got two women's titles. They got 3 hours of TV to fill on. Like, you got to do it now. No more excuses.
Her Guru says, not a fan of the interim title. Why not have a TBS title match here instead of something? Do you think they'd do this with the world title? No, right?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
Maybe. You never know until they're forced into that position. I could see them doing an interim world title.
I don't think they needed to do
it. Position this time. Because Cody was only going to be out for like a couple of weeks at most.
Exactly. So, yeah, I did think it was didn't make any sense. Just do a top contender match for it then. Britt Lockman says, Kip was in the audience today. Any idea what's going on there? He's there again. No, I have no idea. He's been doing this bag over his head gimmick for quite a while. But announced for Dynamite, OC and Chris against Britt Baker, Adam Cole, Punk versus Sean Spears, Serena versus Sky Blue, Sting and Darby versus The Acclaimed, and Cody returns. But announced for this Friday on Rampage, you got Beretta and Adam Cole, Chris Velvet and Layla against Nyla, Penelope and the Bunny, Sean Spears versus Andrew Everett, Impact Wrestling veteran, who was an X Division guy who wears a Big Show-esque one-strap singlet and says he's 7 feet tall. Big fan of him. And a tag team title match, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus against John Silver and Alex Reynolds. We will have coverage of both of those, my friends. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I would greatly appreciate it. You can check out Alex over there doing Sour Graps twice a week at least. And I've got my Q&A show dropping either tomorrow or Friday. Alex, tell them what you got.
On Mondays and on the weekend, I talk about Raw and SmackDown and how bleak it is over there. And then on Tuesdays with Kate Hensler, she and I cope with whatever's happening on NXT by just having a big old party and losing our minds doing crazy voices. So come over and hang out. It's a lot of fun. You can follow me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps.
Robert, what you got going on?
Every Monday, I am here covering Monday Night Raw, writing up all the news every day of the week. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Dude Feliz to see where else I'm talking into this microphone.
Guys, we got so much going on all the time. Thank you all. Our subscribers on Fightful Select have been climbing. I appreciate you guys so much. We're out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.